church in Phoenix decided to do something. The pastor asked the members to randomly go in the phone book and pick 80 people. 80 people to pray for every day for 90 days. So together, the church picked 80 people, and they prayed for every one of those people for 90 days. They also took 80 other names out of the phone book, and they set those names aside, and nobody prayed for them. At the end of the 90 days, the church started calling the people from the phone book. They called both lists of 80, and they said, "We would love to come out and visit you and pray for you." Out of the 80 that were not prayed for, do you know how many people said, "Yes, you can come to my house"? One. One out of 80 said it's okay to come. Random numbers, 80 others that were prayed for 90 days. Do you know how many of those said you can come? 69. 69 people said, "Yes, you can come." And when they got there, 45 of the 69 invited them in and had coffee and refreshments for them. God works through prayer. God works through prayer. Now, He doesn't always work through prayer the first time we pray. And that's the reason why a passage like we're going to look at today is so important for us. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. When we come to Ephesians 6, it's in the context of the spiritual battle, which we'll talk about as we move along. I just want to read for you Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. It says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kind of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." Again, sometimes God answers prayers immediately, and sometimes He doesn't. Sometimes we must do what is called prevailing prayer. We must do as the words of Jesus Himself instructed us. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Prayer that is prevailing is costly, but effective. One writer, Richard Krejcik, says, "Prevailing prayer unlocks the warehouse of God's endless love, forgiveness, grace, and power." So this morning, out of Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look at this passage to discover four truths about prevailing Christian prayer. We're talking about the kind of Christian prayer. It's Christian because it's with God through Jesus Christ, and it is related to the Holy Spirit, as we will see. But it's prevailing. It continues, and it becomes effective. So, first of all, prevailing Christian prayer is linked inseparably to victory in the spiritual battle. The very first word of most, the translation that most of you probably have, the NIV, points that out. It starts out with the word "and." And that's the translator's efforts to link what has come in the verses before. Now, let me remind us what has come. We go all the way back up to verse 10. Verses 10 to 20 is one long paragraph that Paul is concluding his letter of Ephesians to, and he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand firm then. Ephesians 6 tells us that we have an enemy. But often we think our problem is other people or our problem is ourselves, and we don't pay attention in the West very much to all the unseen things that are happening out there, and they are real. There is a spiritual battle going on. Even right now, as I am preaching the Word of God, there's a spiritual battle going on right now. I have no doubt about that, because our enemy Satan does not want God's Word to go forth clearly, and he does not want you to hear it and obey it and put it into practice. And I know Satan doesn't want us to pray. It's a spiritual battle. And this talks about the principalities. It talks about all of the rulers of evil and all of the forces, and God gives various weapons that we are to use in the spiritual battle. The shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit and your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He names all these weapons. Why? Because we have an enemy that causes us to doubt God's Word. According to Genesis 3:4. We have an enemy who lies, John 8:44. Who encourages deception, Acts 5:3. Who hinders God's work, 1 Thessalonians 2:17. Who tempts us, 1 Thessalonians 3:5. He causes divisions, 2 Corinthians 2. He blinds unbelievers to the truth of the gospel, 2 Corinthians 4. He can be allowed by God to afflict people, 2 Corinthians 12:7. And he accuses us. We have a real enemy. Now watch how Ephesians chapter 6 flows. Let me put it simply. There is this, when you come to verse 14, there is one main command. Stand firm. And then he shows us the weapons that we have with which to stand firm that we've already mentioned. But when you come to verses 18 to 20, you have a couple of words that are linked, I believe, all the way back to the command in verse 14. Verse 14, that's a verb, stand firm. Then you've got a couple of participles. They're translated in most English translations as if they were imperatives, you know, pray and be alert, but they are, in the original language, they are participles. Here's what that means. Here's why that's important. We are called to stand firm. And now he's telling us, the writer, Paul, is telling us how we stand firm. We stand firm by praying, and we stand firm by staying alert. Those are two great ways to stand firm in the spiritual battle. Prayer for God to strengthen you is the major way that you can appropriate all of that armor that he gives you in verses 14 to 17. Prayer is not an additional weapon. It's not like he's naming all these weapons and now let me name one more before I leave. No, he is naming the thing by which you put all of your weapons on. You do it in prayer. It's the one thing that makes all the other weapons most effective. I love the quote a few years ago from the songwriter Brian Dirksen. He said, "The gathering of the church is meant to be a number of things. A hospital to heal the sick and wounded. A family where everyone is accepted. A school where we're taught the Word of God. And an army that engages and defeats the enemy to see the kingdom of God advance." The church is all of those things. The church is a hospital. It is a family. It is a school. But the church of Jesus Christ is an army that has a mission, and that mission is to advance his gospel. And I think, as has been said many times, the church is probably the only army that advances best on its knees. Prevailing Christian prayer is linked inseparably to the spiritual battle. Secondly, prevailing Christian prayer is comprehensive. Look at what he says about it in verse 18. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now let's dissect this verse and let's walk through it. Pray in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Some people think that praying in the Spirit means praying in tongues, but it absolutely does not. And here's why. Some believers have been given a gift of praying in tongues. And many believers have not been given that gift. Just like some believers have been given a gift of teaching and some haven't. Some have been given a special gift for showing mercy and some haven't, etc. We all have different spiritual gifts. And in the history of the church, praying in tongues has been one of them, but it's not for everybody. And Paul said, as a body, desire the greater gifts. Ephesians 6 is a command to every Christian. Every Christian is commanded to pray in the Spirit. It's not just for a small subset of the Christian faith who have that particular gift. Does that make sense? Do you understand that? He is saying to all of us, pray in the Spirit. All of us pray in the Spirit. It has nothing to do with the spiritual gift. That's a separate question and a separate issue. And we recognize that God has created his body in different ways and given people different gifts. But this particular command is for every one of us to pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is intimately involved in our prayers. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. This same Paul who wrote Ephesians said, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. John Stott says that prayer in the Spirit is prayer that is prompted and guided by the Holy Spirit. And he notes the connection in this passage in Ephesians 6 between two weapons, the Bible, which is called the sword of the Spirit, and then prayer, praying in the Spirit. And he says, Scripture and prayer belong together as the two chief weapons which the Spirit puts in our hands. But I think pray in the Spirit, it does indicate that the Holy Spirit helps us when we pray. But I think in context, it probably indicates more. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is a huge theme throughout the book of Ephesians. It's often overlooked, but think about some of the instances in the book of Ephesians. Paul had already said in Ephesians 2:18, through him, that is Christ, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And Ephesians 2:22, and in him you too are being built up together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. And now here in our passage, pray in the Spirit. Commentator Francis Folks puts it this way. The Spirit is the atmosphere of Christians' lives. And as they live in the Spirit, grace will be given to watch and power to continue in prayer. So in other words, we are to live in the Holy Spirit. We are to be surrounded by the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us, but we live our lives. Every part of our Christian lives is lived under the inspiration and through the power and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then we pray in the Spirit. Back in verse 18, he says, not only pray in the Spirit, he says, be alert. Remember, praying is one of the ways we stand firm, and being alert is another way we stand firm. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. A lot of bad things happen when we're not alert. Samson had his hair cut while he slept. Saul had his spear stolen by David while he slept. Jesus took his disciples out to pray, and he was praying in the most urgent moment of his life, and they were sleeping. Mark 14. He returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus said, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of a sober mind, so you may pray. So alertness, spiritual alertness is huge. It's very easy in a busy life to just gradually become less and less and less spiritually alert to what God is doing, to the spiritual battle around us, and to our part of it. It's so important to be alert. Well, I'm making the point that prevailing Christian prayer is comprehensive. And I say that because in this one verse, the word all appears 4 times in the original language. Notice, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers. And here's a third one. It's translated always, but it's be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I want Scott to help me read some of these verses. Not that I can't read, but my voice might appreciate it, and you might appreciate it. Listen to these commands that are coming up about praying on all occasions.
Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. 1 Timothy 2:8, therefore I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing.
Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Now, these aren't necessarily all of them, but I think there are prayers of worship, prayers of thanks, prayers of confession, prayers of supplication. That's when you ask for needs that you have. And then prayers of intercession when you ask for others. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And then he says, with this in mind, keep alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Here's some more scripture.
And Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful.
Always keep praying for all the Lord's people. Does Does this verse make anybody here uncomfortable this morning? It does me. I admit, I tend to pray on some occasions or maybe many occasions. I tend to pray for some of God's people. And sometimes I grow weary when I pray for the same thing over and over and over and don't see it answered. And I know I'm a work in process in prayer. Is anybody else here a work in process? This is a great thing to shoot for. This is what God is calling us to do, and God is calling us to be, and this is why we want to be a house of prayer at Harvest, and this is why we have 40 days of prayer, and this is why we have a prayer meeting on Sunday mornings, and this is why we have things like the 24-hour prayer vigil. We're trying to learn how to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, and to be alert and continue to pray for all of the Lord's people. And that last phrase bleeds right into the third truth about prevailing Christian prayer, and that is, it is crucial for our helping each other stand firm. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. We live in America, we live in the West, and we have grown up in a culture and a mindset that puts so much on the individual. It's all up to you to live the Christian life. It's all up to you to do whatever, to make your way in this world, or to get an education, or to get a job, or to make a difference, to do this and that and the other. And we have come in our Westernness, I think, to adopt that mentality and adopt that mindset and to think, well, this Christian life is a hard thing to do, and so I'm going to just try my hardest somehow. But God didn't put us as individuals here on the earth. He didn't say to us, well, you just make it along the best you can. No, God puts us in a body. God puts us in the church. God gives us each other so we can help each other, so we can support each other and encourage each other and love each other. And one of the greatest ways to do that is to pray for each other. This is a corporate picture. This is not an individualistic picture. Victory in the Christian life does not come alone, but in the context of a body of people that are praying for each other. And like the Word, prayer is crucial in overcoming temptation. It's also crucial in effective evangelism, which we're coming to in our fourth point. You go to evangelism seminars, and there's not a lot about the role of prayer, but the fourth truth about prayer is that it is crucial for our helping the gospel advance. Paul said in 19 and 20, "Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." It's really interesting to me today. Today is the day we chose to have the Chad team report. They're trying to advance the gospel in the nation of Chad. Tom and Sherry have been doing that for many years, and this recent team of ours went with them, and they're trying to advance the gospel. And I have very little doubt in my mind that one of the reasons why there is fruit that is happening, ultimately God is sovereign, but God has chosen to use people that pray for that ministry. This morning at 6 a.m., as I was waking up, I got a WeChat message from Don Hill. Don and Cy Hill are harvesters that moved to Thailand to serve the Lord and plant a church. And it's just so amazing to see what has happened there, because all of the experts, all of the people who had been there a long time said and say, in that culture, it usually takes years and years and years for even to get one believer. Now, in Chad, it seems like God is bringing fruit quickly, but not in Thailand. And yet, they've been there 2 or 3 years now, and they have had 3 or 4 people who have followed Christ and have been baptized. My WeChat message this morning from Don was, "Jerry, I just preached a sermon on baptism, and I had a sign-up sheet and asked people to sign up who either definitely wanted to be baptized or wanted to learn more about it, and 12 people signed the sheet." That God, and a lot of people have been praying for God's work to advance in Thailand. Paul says, "Pray for me." Why? So words can be given so we can fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, and we all need that. Barb Seidel and the GO team, as they try to see there be support and help for our missionaries and we advance the gospel, they need you to be praying for them. When our children's teachers go out and they teach our children while this service is going on, we need to pray for them that God would give them the words. As other fellow harvesters are living out in your neighborhood with people on your job and people that you do recreational things with, you can't do it by yourself. We need to be praying for each other as we do that. And certainly, as I provide spiritual leadership and care, and the other pastors and elders do that in this, and we proclaim the Word of God, we need your prayer desperately. Paul said, "Pray for me so I can make known the mystery of the gospel." The gospel is a wonderful thing. The gospel is the news that Jesus Christ came to this earth, died, He was God in the flesh, and He paid for all of our wrong. And He did so that people could be brought back to a relationship with God that we had left because of our sin. And we pray for people as we all try to advance that great message. It's a great message. And let's make sure, first of all, that you here today know that the gospel is for you. That it's a great message for you. It's so important that you would open your heart and life to Jesus Christ and be in a relationship with God. Paul knew that, and that's why he said, "I want you to pray for me as I am advancing it. Pray for me." I mentioned the quote that the church is like an army, and it is like an army of soldiers. So here's God's word. As we think about the images that are in Ephesians 6 and the words from God that are in Ephesians 6, I think it's pretty simple. In order to win, we must pray. In order to win spiritually, we must pray. Now, I want to talk a little bit as we start wrapping it up this morning. I want to talk about what prayer might look like. I want to talk about what it might look like individually for you, and also what it might look like as a church. And so I was trying to think of an individual who has nothing going on in her life, just 2 jobs, 5 children, and 1 husband. And any one of those 3 would be enough, but she's got all of them. That's Heidi Record. I want to invite Heidi to come up here. We all know she has a demanding husband. Stan is so demanding.
Right. He's harder than the other 5 kids.
He's harder than all the rest of it. 2 jobs. 5 children, most of whom are grown now. But God is doing some work in your heart about prayer. Would you just share a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. I see this. I think God's given me the opportunity to praise Him for the 40 days first. We're going to get opportunities next week. But the months of November through January, they've just been really full. My dad got sick. I spent a couple weeks in Jersey. Had some major house stuff going on. Holidays, 5 kids, home, some of the ones from college. Bronchitis, food poisoning. And my jobs have tax deadlines, so just had a lot going on in January. And but in there, I offered to help with the ladies' prayer night that happened a few weeks ago. And the Lord really used that in my life, because as I was preparing, what the Lord showed me is that right now, it's a little bit past tense, fortunately, but it's still going on, my prayer life really stinks. And that was really convicting for me. And I'd, you know, have the prayers in the shower while I was driving, which were to pray all the time, so that's not wrong. But carving out a block of time to spend with the Lord where I could hear from Him. Prayer is an exercise of faith, so being in His Word, so that hearing comes from the Word. And so being in His Word and then listening to Him and talking to Him. It's not an activity that gets put in a block, but if we want to spend time with Him, we should make time for that. And I read this quote, and it said, "Prayerlessness always goes hand in hand with a lack of Christian integrity. To put it bluntly, if you are not enjoying communion with God, then you are selling a product you don't really believe in." And that really convicted me. So I'm trying to, with the Lord's strength, turn that around. And one thing is, we do need some tools. They're not answers. Like I said, it's not an activity. But I do feel like I need to remember, I'm getting a little older. And so when I say I'm going to pray for somebody, I really want to mean that. I don't want to just pray, say, "I'm praying for you." I don't like that. And so the Lord showed me a prayer app that I wanted to share with you guys a little bit. It's been really helpful for me. It's called Prayer Mate right there. And that's what it looks like. Then you can go to the next screen.
And well, I wanted to open your text messages. Can we open that and see what you've been doing during the service? Oh, okay.
And what it is it's like the index card system. And each one of these, so it gives you lists. It gives you some suggested lists. And then you can add other lists. So these are some of my lists: biblical prayers, my walk with God, my family, my church. These are like the main headings for my index cards. Okay.
So if you were to click then, and this is new to me too. She was telling me about this particular prayer app. So you were to click on my family, this would come up.
Right. So under your family, then you can have whoever you want to have on there. So this is one of our kids, and I've asked them for prayer requests. I've blocked them out on here, but yours wouldn't have the black box. And then you can list, you know, you can put them in there, and then you see right above where I've written the request, there's a little blue line, and that says Prayer Builder. And then you click on that, and it will take you to some suggested scriptures that go along. You know, you kind of think, how does that go along with this prayer request? And then I think I have that on the next screen. Yeah, it'll give you some suggested scriptures to go with that, and then some suggested ways to pray God's word, because that's really what we need to be praying. So this has been really helpful for me in my walk. Even just over there, I found this a few weeks ago, so I'm kind of new at it, but it's been really helpful.
Okay. So that, and afterwards, Heidi's going to hang around here, and if you're interested in talking to her about that app, she'll show it to you on her phone. She'll help you get set up. It is just a tool. But finally, you have been involved with others of leading some women's Bible studies here in the last year or two. You have kind of an idea right now that God might be leading in a certain direction moving forward. I'd love you to take just a minute to tell about that as it relates to prayer, certainly.
Yeah. So the women have studied Hebrews, we've studied 1 Peter, and just kind of thinking about what's the Lord leading us to do next. And the Lord's leading us to pray. I felt really, really convicted about that. So on the Tuesday nights, starting at the end of the month, Tuesday, February 27th at 7 o'clock, we'll just meet in here. For young moms, it's an added bonus. It's really quiet in here. And so that can be just a really good time to be able to focus. We're going to pray. If you're interested, you don't have to sign up. But the week leading up to that Tuesday, I will send out scriptures that you can be meditating on so that when we pray, we're praying God's word. We're not going to come in and share all our prayer requests and then get to prayer for the last 15 minutes. We're going to get to pray, and we're going to pray biblically for one another and for just what God wants to do in our body. I really believe that the Lord wants us to come together through various avenues. And so this is just an opportunity. So if you're interested in that, you don't, like I said, you don't have to sign up, women. Just come. But if you want to get some verses to be looking at throughout the week just to help you be able to pray his word, then feel free to let me know.
Okay, so final word. You're not a prayer expert, you would say. A lot of people might be thinking, well, you know, that's a prayer expert because she's up there talking. But what would, in 15 seconds, what would your word be to anybody who might feel that way?
That they're a prayer expert?
No, that they're not a prayer expert. So this is something that's okay. For high class of spiritual elites. No.
God just wants our hearts, and I think that's what he's really convicted me. We don't have to have fancy words. That's not at all what it's about. Just bring your heart. And if, like me, your heart isn't in the right place, let's pray about it. Let's give it to him.
Thank you, Heidi. Let's thank Heidi for helping out. Let me give you a couple of pictures. That's kind of on the individual side of an individual praying, but let me give you a couple of corporate pictures as we start to close this morning. Acts chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. This was after Jesus had died, buried, risen again, and he had instructed the apostles to go to an upper room and to wait for what God had promised them, which we know was the promised Holy Spirit. And verse 12 says, the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. And those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Do you know the church was born in a prayer meeting? The church was born in a prayer meeting. They were together constantly in prayer. And this is not the only instance in Acts. In fact, you just start tracing it through. This is Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost comes, and at the end it says they were devoting themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to teaching, to fellowship, and to prayer. And then you come into Acts chapter 4, and Peter and John are at the temple healing, and they get arrested, and they're told, stop doing that. Don't preach anymore in Jesus' name. And they go back to the rest of them when they release them. And what do? At the end of Acts 4, it's a story where they get on their knees and they pray, not God, get us out of this. They pray, God, enable us to speak boldly your word. In Acts chapter 6, the leadership, as they're spreading the leadership out, the apostles say, we want to empower others to take care of the widows so that we can devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. In Acts chapter 12, when Peter's in jail, his head is about to get cut off like James's. And yet, the church is found in Acts chapter 12, earnestly praying to God. In Acts chapter 13, when they did missions involvements, when they sent Paul and Barnabas out, they did so by praying and fasting and laying their hands on them. Here is the picture of prayer in the church. God wants the church to pray together. That's God's will for the church. Well, let me give you one contemporary picture of a church, and it's not a church in very good condition physically. Thomas Rainer is a church consultant. He works mostly with traditional churches who have stagnated. They're not growing, they're not reaching people, they're not advancing, and he goes in and he meets with them and he consults with them. However, he tells in this article called The Great Church Movement, The Great Church Prayer Movement, about a church that didn't have that problem. Indeed, it was at one point stagnant, but now suddenly the church was exploding. And every age group had run out of room. There was no room for anybody else in any of the age groups. In fact, things were happening like the preschool room would fill up, and parents, even new believers who had gotten saved in the church, would hire babysitters to keep their children because there wasn't even room in the preschool room. I mean, it was crazy. And so he was called on them to find out what was making this church so dynamic and what could he do to help them. The church was 60 years old. He said it was in a sparsely populated, blue-collar agricultural community. So the community around them was not growing. In fact, the population growth in the community was zero. So it wasn't like a lot of new people were moving out to this place. And he said he was shocked. Listen to his quote. The church building was in deplorable condition. Parking lot had several pieces of asphalt missing. The roof was leaking in three sections. Offices had been subdivided to make multiple Sunday school classes. How could such a worn, ragtag building be the home of rapid growth? And he says, I discovered the answer in my initial interviews with church members. 3 years earlier, a group of men in the church said, we are going to start coming together to pray. And so every day, this small group of men met at 5 a.m. to pray for their church. And that's just where it started. They prayed day after day after day. And it started small, and it spread out, and then prayer exploded through this church. In fact, let's call this picture of prevailing prayer the 5 a.m. church. That's all there was to it. And now, in this church that was very stale, now the community starts coming in, and people start getting saved, and life starts happening. And the reason why is because God wants us to pray. In order to win, we must pray. In order to win, we must pray. We have a lot of good opportunities to pray at Harvest. A lot of you are in groups that meet regularly for fellowship and accountability, community groups, men's groups, women's groups. You meet together. And you pray in those groups. And that's awesome. We meet on Sunday mornings, every Sunday morning at 9 before this service to pray. And there are special times of prayer, special seasons of prayer, like the 40 days of prayer. And you heard already this morning that it looks like every couple of weeks there's just going to be women praying together, praying the scripture. Men, what are we going to do? What are we going to do to pray together? Not here to announce anything this morning. Not announcing a program. Not announcing an emphasis. The only thing I'm trying to announce is the heart of God. The heart of God is that Harvest is a church of prayer. Will you bow your heads with me, please?